listening to Real Talk, sponsored by Marcus Werenberg Theaters. I'm Colin Ritter.
I'm Peter Lewis.
And in today's episode, we are going to be giving a brief recap slash review of the new Power Rangers film. Earlier this week, Peter and I went and watched the new Power Rangers film, and, well, it was an interesting movie, to say the least. That's about all I can say to start it off. What about you? Do you have anything just to kind of start us off before we get into this?
Power Rangers is technically a movie.
Technically, yes.
I think that's probably the only positive it had going for it. It's technically a movie.
Technically, you know, just to preface everything.
This movie was terrible.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the Rotten Tomato reviews of the film, they're incredibly accurate.
I'd say they're a little too high.
You think they're a little too high?
46 this morning? I think that's too good.
Yeah, I'll give
even
it in the 40s.
Even Metacritic at 44, that's a little too much for me.
It just didn't work for us.
Oh.
It really didn't.
Not at all.
But, you know, Peter, as always, like we always do, give us a brief recap of the film, and then we'll delve right into this.
Basically, it's heavily based off the original 1993 to 1995 Mighty Morphin Power Rangers series, as you heard in the
Which
song.
Which was
at the
great.
Beginning.
Loved. Oh. You know, throwback.
Just, it's pure schlock, but it's great.
Yeah.
And the movie does none of that.
It doesn't.
It has the characters' names, throwbacks to the designs of the Zords and the costumes, but other than that, it's a weird thing.
It is, and you know, in typical Power Rangers fashion, you have a big villain, and the climax of the film is, you know, fighting this villain and, you know, overcoming those challenges and winning the battle, and then happily ever after. But of course, there's something else lurking about. That's essentially how this movie ends, and you know, as we've kind of alluded to already, it just all around did not work. And I think, and I would think that Peter would agree with this, one of the biggest problems I had with the film was the script. I thought it was incredibly, just poorly written.
It's uninspiring. It's essentially every action movie that just, every uninspired cash grab action movie Hollywood puts out with these, you know, rent-a-directors and rent-a-screen directors, screenwriters, sorry. All it has is a Power Rangers paint job, but it doesn't feel like a Power Rangers.
You're
fun.
Right.
That's the big problem.
Exactly. And I think you made a really good point. When we were watching the film, he leaned over to me within probably the first 20 minutes, and he said, this script is trying to be Saved by the Bell, but it's not working. I feel like you leaned over to me and said something along those lines.
Well, what made the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers so good was it was Saved by the Bell meets Godzilla meets Transformers.
You're right.
But it was always fun. It was ridiculous and absolutely stupid. That's objective. But it was, you enjoyed it because of those things.
But almost like we always talk about, almost one of those so bad it's good styles of films, you know, the originals.
Absolutely.
You know,
and I get it's a little hard to put that on the screen because it's hard to capture that charm, but it's just like they have no ideas left, so they just go for nostalgia. Like, because clearly you and me were the target audience. Like, we remember Power Rangers.
Exactly,
And if you're like me, you grew up on that, so this was directed right towards you, but it doesn't do any of the things that made Power Rangers great.
Exactly. And what's strange is, had you been in the theater with us the night we watched it, the crowd applauded when it ended. Which was incredibly surprising, I guess.
Well, it shouldn't, because The Last Transformers made $1 billion, so.
True. I mean, maybe we're just more harsh critics, but I seriously walked. There were parts of the film that I should not have been laughing. When I was laughing, it just didn't work for me. There were so many problems. As I mentioned, the script was terrible. The character development was very poor.
It's very rushed.
Everything
in this film is just rushed, but nothing happens.
Exactly. Some of it was very cliche, as you would imagine. As we mentioned, you know, kind of Saved by the Bell-esque, you know, trying to paint this teenage drama, and there's a mix of teenage angst in there. It was too much too quickly, and I know, Peter, you had mentioned that you liked the villain as far as Quinn compared to the rest of the characters.
Because it was the most ridiculous thing.
Exactly.
Elizabeth Banks' overacting was what I wanted throughout the whole film.
Yeah. But for me, the villain itself was, the storyline behind the villain was terrible.
Oh.
I mean, it was terrible. You couldn't buy into it. I mean, I as I've mentioned before, I love the villain from the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. I could definitely buy into that way more. I mean, the final battle scene, which is, you know, typically the highlight of a Power Rangers film, was just awful. It was one of the fastest battle scenes I've ever seen in my life. You know, you have this backstory that lasts way, way, way too long. They don't morph until the last, you know, 85 to 90% of the film.
Oh, there's just this, the bad plot line. They can't morph. They have to believe in themselves. It's like, who cares?
Exactly.
Don't they have technology to be like, oh, morph now?
Exactly.
The whole time, just like, this doesn't make sense.
Yeah, and something else I didn't like, and I think you kind of agreed, they almost make the Power Rangers out to be these alien-like creatures, and they morph from within, and it, like, their suits are actually, like, scales.
Yeah, skin turns over.
Yeah, I was like, what is this? It was just awful. It was truly awful.
I mean, I get there needs to be an update aesthetically, but it was just so...
Yeah, it didn't need that.
Yeah. And I think the big problem was, rather than be Saved by the Bell, it tried to be Breakfast Club, because that's what everybody kept saying. Like,
you're exactly
right.
Oh, this
looks like Power Rangers meets the Breakfast Club.
That's right.
Unpopular opinion, I hate the Breakfast Club.
I can't agree with you there, but...
And basically, it was that whole thing. It's like, I don't care about these characters. I don't care that they're coming together. Yeah.
It wasn't as good as the Breakfast Club, though. I mean, the character development at the beginning was just terrible.
I would have just started out with, the show. They were always a unit as friends to begin with.
Yeah.
And they get pulled in somehow, like, maybe, you know. I didn't mind the beginning of, like, the origins of the Power Rangers.
Yeah.
I would have preferred it may have been a little more explored in some ways. And, like, maybe they were connected to the something.
Exactly.
Something like
but
that.
This narrative that they all just happened to meet in detention and... The fact that we're giving away a lot of the plot, and a lot of this may not make any sense to you at all if you haven't seen the film. But and then the people that meet in detention end up meeting two other kids who become the Power Rangers out in the middle of a mine. Like it was ridiculous.
It's too convenient, but
exactly way too convenient.
And you would think if something that's convenient, they would have an easier time trying to like develop this group and characters, but they don't.
They don't at all.
And it's like you said, the 75% of the movie is just this. Uninteresting, uninspired origin story that you see in every new action franchise that tries to get out the ground.
Yeah,
that's the problem. It feels like every startup action franchise you've seen from Hollywood, and it feels like that. Like I don't want to see a film after this.
That's
the worst thing you could do.
You're exactly right. And you know, it features the famous theme song in a really weird spot. They're just all around.
I was personally offended when they played the original theme song because I was like, you have not earned.
You have not earned the
because
right to play this.
The big problem is the tone is so off.
You're right.
Like I hate to keep repeating myself. It's every Hollywood action film. They try to make it serious. They try to make it dark. They try to make it different. They don't want fun, but then they try to put jokes and fun in there, and it doesn't work.
And the jokes also fell flat. The little bit of comedy it did have, you know, some of the jokes from the character Billy I found funny, but all of the other comedy that was in the film, I didn't buy into any of it. And, you know, as we've kind of mentioned, now that we've trashed this film for the past 8 minutes, let me say one thing I did respect. I respected what it was trying to be because I loved the Power Rangers. And I wanted badly to enjoy the film because I would love to see the Power Rangers be brought back in a good way. But this, I don't think, was the correct way to bring them back. I think it was, I don't want to say it was poorly executed from a technical aspect, because obviously a lot of hard work went into this, you know, as far as obviously cinematography is concerned, special effects. But from a storytelling standpoint, I think it was poorly executed.
I just think it goes back to what we said in maybe past episodes about Hollywood not knowing how to do escapism.
Yeah.
Like, they don't want to give you pure fun because they think you're going to think it's cheesy or too much. But this is a film where we would have wanted that.
Exactly.
Because what made the original TV show and even the 1995 movie version of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers so good was it had cringeworthy puns, but they were so good.
Exactly.
The characters were fun.
I think you actually made a really good point that I hadn't really thought of until now. Earlier when you mentioned, you know, it's trying to be... You know, Power Rangers, Breakfast Club meets Transformers. That is exactly what it was trying to be. It tried to have the same tone as Transformers. And the Power Rangers do not have the same tone as Transformers.
No.
I mean, because although there's some thinly laced comedy in a lot of the Transformers films, you know, look at the first two films. Really and truly, if you get beyond the jokes, those are dark films. Those are kind of gritty, you know, heavy films as far as the narrative, the storyline that's being told. And I don't think that lends itself well to Power Rangers because it's trying to recreate this I don't want to say story because this was an entirely new story, essentially, but it's trying to recreate this franchise from the way that we know it and we love it and make something new. And it just, as I've said a million times now, it just didn't work.
The film I kept thinking of watching this was the 2015 remake of The Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Because it had the exact same problem. You know, the first almost 75-80% of the movie is building up this group that it doesn't do it well.
Yeah.
And then there's just this rushed fight when you should have had fights building up to it.
Exactly. There, as I mentioned earlier, the fight scene at the end, which, you know, historically is the best part of the Power Rangers films, you know, it's awesome, was absolutely terrible. And the way they... What was her name? Rita? I forget.
Rita Repulsa.
Yeah, Rita, the villain. The way that the fight ends is just terrible. The dialogue, and let me just say this, the dialogue is Anakin Skywalker on Mustafar bad. I mean, it was that bad. The dialogue was just awful. And I know there was one part, and this is the climax of the film, the very serious part of the film. You know, Rita's, you know, presenting this monologue to the Power Rangers, and then Peter leans over to me and says, "What is she talking about?" And I really, that's how it was. It's like, where's the motivation here? Where's the motivation between any of the things that they're saying or any of the things that they're doing? Because there was nothing to reveal it.
And it's not like this is the first time we saw the villain. Like, we saw her probably five or six times
exactly.
prior to this, and nothing's established. All we know is she wants to collect gold to build Goldar.
Yes.
And
which was, oh my gosh, that was just...
terrible CGI.
It was awful. You know,
the Megazord was worse, though.
It was, because that was literally trying to... That literally looked like a bigger version of Optimus Prime, let's be honest here. And don't throw that disrespect to Optimus Prime, okay? But I liked how they started with Rita. You know, they found her in this corpse, this skeleton from the ocean. I thought that was intriguing to me. And then as the film progressed, she started to lose me, and she started to lose me. And it didn't help that I was already losing the main characters. I was becoming more and more uninterested in them. So by the end of the film, I was just completely finished. I was completely uninterested. And then, you know, as a lot of people knew going into it, or may know now, there was a post-credit scene. It was more like a mid-credit scene. And it was just kind of, you know?
Spoilers, they want to do the Green Power Ranger.
Yeah, it was a Green Ranger
and
nod.
Who cares?
Yeah,
He's probably going to have a Krispy Kreme, colors on
his suit. Let's talk about the hard marketing for Krispy Kreme in this film.
Oh, not only is it shown in the film, they flat out say it.
Like, they say it several times.
The goal is, the thing Rita's trying to find, like some crystal or something?
Yeah, it was a crystal that protected Earth.
They kind of, I think that was the thing. But
something.
Again, it's under Krispy Kreme, and I did laugh at this because I thought it was the funniest part of the movie. She's like, it's under the Krispy Kreme. And, you know, again, it's a alien who doesn't understand what that means.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, if that's how the movie was the whole time, I probably would have loved
it
more.
You would have loved a lot more, yeah.
Because I don't think we went into detail yet, but the Power Rangers themselves are just so uninteresting.
Oh, my gosh,
like,
yeah.
I didn't care about any of them.
Yeah, and they try to really create this. I mean, they use this common trend in Hollywood right now. They create this, you know, teenage sob story in that they think you're going to fall in love with 3 minutes of backstory. It's just simply not the case.
I mean, the Red Power Ranger is the most cliched protagonist I could have imagined.
The most cliche. I mean, you know, star football player and who's, you know, who's always into mischief. It was just bad character development.
I didn't care about the Pink Ranger. The Yellow Ranger annoyed me the whole time.
Yeah.
The Blue Ranger was... at first the best part, but it got old really fast.
See, I still think by the end of the film, he was the best character. He's definitely the most interesting Ranger as far
probably
as I'm
the
concerned.
Most developed, actually.
Yeah, well, without a doubt, the most developed.
And the Black Ranger barely gets anything.
Yeah, I forgot that he was even in there.
He's the thrill seeker of the group. He's jumping into stuff. Like, okay, that I need more.
Exactly.
And then they try to get him like this sob story, like, oh, his mom's dying there in a tree. It's like, you can't do this without actually making me care to begin with.
Exactly. Simply put, the film tried to do too much in too little time. And even before we went to the movie, I said, you know, I asked Peter, I was like, how long is this? And we looked at the runtime, and it was like 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were both kind of indifferent to see the movie to begin with. And then when I saw that it was 2 hours and 6 minutes, I'm like, oh, dear God, this is going to be long and just agonizing. And then by the end of the 2 hours and 6 minutes, we didn't learn anything. You know, so I'm like, well, this movie needed about another solid hour and a half to even get to a point here. I'm glad it didn't last that long.
Remove a lot of the filler. Because what's funny is, because I went back a few weeks ago to watch the first like five or so episodes of the original Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
Yeah.
They establish much more.
Oh, yeah.
In what's whatever 22 minutes times 5 is. I can't do math.
Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, you can't exactly, like, you know, of course, take those 5 movies and put them in 5 shows,
of
rather,
course,
and put them into a movie. But the way, even the pilot episode establishes everybody and gets a good fight scene in,
yeah,
in 22 minutes.
Exactly.
That's much more believable than a 2-hour, 6 or, I think, 4-minute movie.
Yeah.
That's really bad.
It is. It is bad. You know, so what's your final grade, Peter? What would you give this film from, let's say, A to F?
Oh, absolutely F.
F.
I am a fan of the 10 system. I'd probably say 2.5 out of 10.
2.5 out of 10. So essentially, let's put it like this. If this
it's very poor.
If this film were taking a class in college, you would be failing. You would have to take the class again. That would be an incomplete.
And I get the problem. We're more cynical as viewers.
Well, yeah.
Just the whole general audience is that I think we want more serious stuff, but we always say we want more fun. It's like Hollywood's in this tough position.
Yeah. They're trying to deliver both because
viewers
want both, but it's hard to do.
I think it's commit to one and make it work because you can make something that's cheesy fun. I didn't like Sharknado as much as everybody else, but there's a pretty good consensus that this worked being stupid.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, you make a really good point.
It takes effort, and you're not going to get it from these, like I said, rent-a-directors and rent-a-screenwriters. Like, you need people with visions and a system, because there's clearly a lot of studio meddling here. Like, there's
Without
no reason
doubt.
Krispy Kreme should have been that big of a deal.
Exactly.
It's just, you need to let filmmakers be filmmakers. That's the big thing.
You're right. I agree. And you're exactly, it's you have to commit and make that, make that motive the best it can be, given what you have, given the time you have, given the money you have, and given the story you have.
Simply put, you have to care.
You have to
care.
That's
the big thing.
You're right.
You can't just view this as a cash grab.
Yeah.
Which is what the studio wants.
Exactly. And that's what this film really was.
Yeah.
So, you know, give it a chance. Go see it if you want. I mean, kind of like we say about anything, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it. I don't think there's any in-between on this film.
Hollywood has lost the in-between now.
You're right.
It's hard to do.
But fair enough. And just to transfer before we close out this episode, we're going to start a new segment this week that we're going to keep going on from here on out. It's a trailer of the week. So this week, the new trailer for It was released. So first impressions, I'm incredibly excited about this movie. The teaser trailer that was released has me very intrigued. What about you?
I like that they're trying to establish they're not going to do, like, the cliched horror movie, like, jump scares everywhere. It's like, it looks interesting from a story standpoint.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of good homages to the original.
Yeah.
It. And again, my opinions on remakes, reboots are well established, but I didn't think they did the first one right to begin with
exactly,
in a lot of ways. So this could be good.
This may be the one remake of a horror film that kind of, you know, maybe starts to change your mind or gives you a little bit of a different opinion, depending on who takes on that remake.
And every full moon, there is a good remake reboot.
Exactly.
So, you know, this could be the one.
It could very well could be.
It could be, because I think they know how to do Stephen King now.
Exactly. And, you know, a pretty prevalent theme now, a lot of child actors, and from the teaser alone, what seems to be pretty talented child actors. So I'm very excited to see
it. I think well-directed is, like I say, you know, the trailer's a trailer.
Yeah.
But I think from so far, I have faith in it.
Yeah, exactly. So do I. So that should be fun.
Absolutely.
That should be a fun film. So I think that concludes this week's episode of Real Talk.
I'd say so.
Yeah, so as always, guys, don't forget you can check us out on iTunes, the Google Play Store, krcu.org, or you can check us out at facebook.com/krcu. So just, you know, while you're on your Facebook page, slide over to the KRCU's Facebook page. Give that a like. So for this weekend, for Real Talk, I'm Colin Ritter.
I'm Peter Lewis.
We'll see you at the movies.